Hello, Nightmare Society family. I have two extremely disturbing true stories lined up for you tonight. Our contributors are anonymous, but I wanted to send out a huge thank you to two of our listeners. Chloe Tittle and Teddo242 left me some very kind remarks in their reviews on Apple, and it was just the breath of fresh air I needed. A lot has been going on in life lately. I'm moving across the country in 2 days, and you know how life gets. I try really hard to make this a podcast I would love to listen to, and sometimes when you send your stuff out into the ether, you're not sure how it's being received and if people are actually enjoying it. I don't get updates when a review is posted on a particular app, so I just happened upon these the other day. And quite honestly, I was losing hope of getting any written reviews. So to Chloe Tittle and Teddo242, I appreciate you. Your reviews made my day. Now, on to the stories. It is one of my most favorite movies, and now that It Chapter 2 is out, I thought it would be fun to share some true, yet horrific clown stories. So get comfy, pull out your favorite paper sailboat, and prepare yourself for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
This happened in Antioch, California. It was around 2 a.m. I was at a friend's house, safe in a warm, sheltered suburbia. We were having a lot to drink, chit-chatting, enjoying ourselves. Of course, when you're having fun, time hits the fast-forward button. Those few minutes turned into an hour. I had too much to drink. My friend has a bit of an abrupt bedtime, so I had to dodge out early, still intoxicated. I felt too shameful thinking I'd be asking too much to stay in his house to sleep off the drunkenness. I suppose he was either too rude or too drunk himself to consider it. Whatever. Sometimes a little inconvenience makes you appreciate everything else. I needed about another hour or so to sober up and drive back. As fast as time passed during my stay, it decided to drastically slow down as soon as I stepped out of his house. It was a cul-de-sac area, a concrete jungle with the stem of the street breaking into a fork. Alongside the road, my car was parked. The only street light that worked was in the middle of the cul-de-sac's circle, about 80 yards away. I stumbled towards my car, produced my keys, felt the metal line up, opened my door, and shifted to the back seat. Because this was a dark, strange, and unfamiliar neighborhood, I took the leftover newspapers and a sweater in my back seat to cover myself up. I was a little scared. I wanted to camouflage myself and not just be some guy awkwardly sitting in his car waiting for time to pass in order to drive home. I couldn't fall asleep. The uncomfortable feeling of a cheap backseat bed enshrouded in darkness did not make the chance of slumber easier. It felt too ominous. And of course, my mind began to wander. I thought of worst-case scenarios, like how the police would shine their lights in on me through the window, or a drunk driver hitting my car and... wait. What is that? In the distance, about 100 yards away, I could hear footsteps approaching. The gravel scuffed with each step forward, growing in proximity, but periodically taking stops. I wondered why until it made sense in my mind. Whoever it was probably looking through the cars carefully, with the intent to steal one. I couldn't recall how many cars were on the block, but I counted 3 full stops until he was at my window, breathing. I froze. There was no more than 1 foot between us. The car encapsulated me as I lay hidden beneath the backseat clutter, forming myself into an object, trying my hardest to be unnoticeable, unmoving, and simply not there.
I see you,
said a 40-plus-year-old man in perverse baby talk. Imagine when you were playing hide-and-seek, and one of your friends tricks you into coming out. He said it in that tone of voice, as if baiting me, like he was questioning whether the clutter in the back seat was just clutter or a person. I didn't want to move or check the window. I remained clutter. Give me an Academy Award. My body reacted by minimizing my breathing so much that I felt paralyzed. I dare not look. My eyes fixated on the back seat of the passenger side. I didn't blink. I didn't move. I didn't breathe. My heart was pounding so hard it shook my body with each throb. He circled around the car. My ears did not fail me. I heard the steps. I felt like I was part of the car. I could feel him touching the trunk as he carefully pressed down on it, as if to test the alarm, as if to test me. I was in the middle of fight or flight. I couldn't do either without elevating danger. I was frozen and hoping to God he was bluffing. He circled the car again. The door handle to my right jiggled. He was pulling it multiple times.
I see you.
Same tone, but more agitated and stressed. More convinced that he was trying to make that clutter move, revealing itself to be of his expectation that it was me. My muscles tensed like a cow before slaughter. That had to be metal against glass. Take a penny right now and tap your window. A crowbar? A knife? A rock? A gun? My eyes fixated on the seat in front of me, never averting my gaze, like he was. I was covered enough to where I couldn't see beyond the seat in front of me. I know I couldn't see him, but I could feel his eyes resting on top of me.
My name is Pokerface. What's your name?
The voice changed, in a lower, demented, and serious tone. My mind forced a visual. It was not anything human. I already accepted my death. I was ready to be shot in the head, ready to take a life-changing bullet, multiple knife wounds. Just make this sleep bearable, not excruciating, as you drain me of life. I wouldn't know how to react. My thoughts grew dimmer. I imagined my friend waking up the next morning after a calm night of safe and sound sleep, only to discover my mutilated, defiled, and bloodied body hanging outside my car door. It was then I heard nothing but my own heart. What was this person doing now? Just staring at me in the middle of the night? talking to me or a messy pile in the back seat? Time froze. The footsteps were being swallowed in the distance. Thank God. He left. I waited another hour until the sun showed hints of itself. I jumped in my front seat and bolted out of there, wide-eyed and sober. This is not a new story. This happened way back in 1980. I was 5 years old and was invited to a neighbor's birthday party. We lived in the quiet suburbs of Baltimore, Maryland. It was an idyllic town. Trees lined the streets, looking over the neighborhood like giant looming sentinels. It was early October. I remember this because the houses were decorated for Halloween. The boys' parents pulled out all the stops to make their son's party one to remember. There was a slow-moving, sad-faced donkey that the smaller children were permitted to ride. I was not allowed to ride the donkey. I was a fat boy, even at age 5. I was also as loud as I was fat. It was my loud mouth that caused this pleasant afternoon of cake, ice cream, and piñatas to quickly unravel into a horrifying nightmare. Aside from the usual accoutrements at a 7-year-old's birthday party, there was a clown. The clown walked around silently, prancing and smiling. He would laugh silently. He would do the old, "I got your nose," trick and pull coins out from behind our ears. He made balloon animals and attempted to ride a unicycle. The other kids laughed. I hated the clown. Everything about him made me uncomfortable. And because of this, my fat 5-year-old self decided it was a decent idea to give the clown a hard time. Birthday boy announced aloud that it was time to head inside to see the special clown magic show. All the kids went into the living room and sat on the hardwood floor. I stood in the back. The clown proceeded with the magic show. He pulled a fake rabbit out of his hat and performed other hat tricks as I stood in the back of the room and jeered him. I would yell out how the tricks were done. The clown continued to silently smile, making no sound as he went about his magical presentation. His face said happiness, but his eyes screamed rage at me. This went on for 15 minutes. The kids laughed as the clown fumbled through some crappy dime store magic tricks. I don't know if it was an act of mercy, but birthday boy's parents shouted,
"Piñata time!"
And all the kids ran outside to smash a cardboard donkey stuffed with candy. After a few minutes outside, all of the fruit punch I drank through the day wanted out. I scurried back into the house in search of the toilet. The house was quiet and the sun had shifted in the sky, leaving the kitchen and the adjoining hallway bath in a murky early evening light. As I walked through the kitchen and into the hall from a room in the hall, stepped the clown into the hallway. He stood there, staring at me, staring at him. It seemed like one of those Wild West showdowns from the cowboy movies my dad used to watch on television. He lurched slowly toward me, his painted smile unwavering, but his eyes bloodshot and filled with unbridled hatred. I walked a few steps in reverse before spinning on my heels and trying to make it to the kitchen. I felt a large hand land on my shoulder. I was spun around forcefully and fell to the floor. The clown stood above me for a moment before putting a giant clown shoe on my fat chest. I remember trying to squirm, and I remember wanting to scream and cry for help. But it never happened. He stood over me, pinning me to the floor before brandishing one of those old-style seltzer bottles. He proceeded to spray the crotch of my pants, and in a sing-song voice he cooed,
"Piggy going pee-pee, piggy going pee-pee."
Until the contents of the bottle were drained. When he moved his foot from my chest, I lashed out with my feet, kicking at his shins and trying to scurry away at the same time. I ran into a pantry and slammed the door. It was a really terrible hiding place. He had to see where I went. The pantry was about 4 feet away from where I was laying on the floor just moments ago. It was dark in the pantry and smelled of Pine Sol cleaning solvent. There was no lock on the inside to protect me from the clown. In the dark pantry, I slid to the floor and tried not to sob uncontrollably. Minutes passed. Those minutes felt like hours. I heard no other sound than my wheezing and a fear fart that squeaked out.
"Oh, piggy, piggy! Did you make poopy in the pantry?"
The voice came from inside the dark pantry in which I was hiding. Or so I thought. I froze in fear, not moving, not breathing. I did not know where the clown was. If he was in the pantry with me, I needed to get out. If he was out there, I needed to stay in the pantry. I lowered my head to the floor and squinted through the gap between the bottom of the pantry door and the floor. There was not much to see. What little light bled through the bottom of the door was quickly blacked out, and a bloodshot eye stared back at me from the other side of the door. There was a low, guttural laugh and a voice that either hissed,
"Boo, piggy."
Or,
"Poo, piggy."
I squeezed my eyes shut and started crying at near hysterical level. The door swung open and I screamed as loud as I could. Standing in the doorway was my dad.
"What the hell are you doing?"
he asked.
"Clown, clown!"
I screamed. He picked me up, carried me out of the pantry, out of the house, and back to the safety of our house. Wow. I am not one of those people who is terrified of clowns, but those were pretty terrifying stories. Thank you so much for listening, and please don't forget, if you would like to share your support for the podcast, make sure to write us a review. If you do, and once I see it, I will be sure to give you a shout out on the next episode. If you think I might have missed the review, be sure to reach out to me. I'm on Twitter frequently at @society_radio. I'm also on Instagram at Nightmare Society Radio, and you can also feel free to contact me at my email, nightmaresocietyradio@gmail.com, where you can also send your scary true stories. Thanks for listening, and as always, stay safe.